This episode of the Behind the Mask podcast is sponsored by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you know you're getting the real deal. Whether you're looking for a head-turning handbag or a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gym, or sneakers and streetwear that make every step feel fly. Remember that first style piece or luxury item you just had to have? How did it make you feel when you finally got it? These days, to know for sure you're getting the real deal, go straight to eBay. When you're searching, just look for that blue check mark. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. That means when you buy it, you can be confident that it's authenticated by real experts. Why is this the new way to shop? eBay is where you can find rare, limited-run pieces and special colorways you can no longer find in stores. Listen, when you're finally ready to buy that thing you love, you have to make sure you're not going to catch a fake. They're everywhere, and it's real tough to tell the difference for yourself. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, that's easy. So again, look for the blue check mark. That way, when it hits your doorstep, not only do you know it's real, but that feeling you get when you put it on is also for real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Behind the Mask.
Got one of our, truly one of our beginning all-time favorites right there, man. Yeah. Super Bowl MVP, all everything, wide receiver, Santonio Holmes. Mm-hmm. What's happening, homie?
Hey, man, I'm good, man. Thank you guys for having me on, man. Appreciate this moment.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, man, we see you dripped out in the gear. You got the bold coat on. You got the MVP.
Oh. Super Bowl, you know what I mean? You got to represent, man. AFC, NFC, you got the starter jacket here, you know what I mean? Just got this fresh piece for the game, so. You know, dripped out.
It's only so many MVPs, huh, in the Super Bowl game, right? How many is it? I know you know.
There is, I want to say, 46 of us total, based on the fact that there's more guys have multiple MVP MVPs, awards. But under the 58, obviously, there are 57. But there are multiple guys that have multiple Super Bowl MVPs. But I'm just happy to be one of them.
And we are blessed by being sitting here with one of them.
So when you got that award, that announcement, what was that feeling like? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, I won the game, and then they like, yo, did you know you was going to be the MVP? Did you know you – we saw you do your damn thing, but, like, what was that feeling? You know what I'm saying?
When I think back to that game moment and watching Debo run that touchdown.
Yeah.
Had he got –
he almost got hooked.
Had he got one more sack in the game – he's the greatest player to perform throughout the season to win the defensive player of the year that year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
To have that great moment in the Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
But all he needed was one sack. All he needed was one sack, and he's the Super Bowl MVP. And I sat on the sideline rooting for that.
Yeah.
Because he and I had talked at the beginning of training camp that season that he said he was going to be the defensive player of the year. And I'm sitting in the hot tub with him like, yo –
I feel you.
That went out and became the defensive player of the year that year.
He did.
So when we got that moment to play in the Super Bowl, I knew who I had on the other side of me. I had a group of guys that was so confident that they was coming to ball out no matter what. All we had to do on offense was just show up for one moment. And to have a quarterback be ready for that one moment, we practiced that, TK. We practiced that, bro. We practiced that throw every day during the offseason, all the way throughout training camp, all the way throughout the season for that one moment.
And I know you talk about, like, you practice for it, but did it look the same way in practice that it did in the game when all 10 toes are down?
That shit was, like,
come on now.
So I remember the first time we got into the playoff, the first day of playoff practice, we go down – and we were in the indoor because it's cold, Pittsburgh. We're in the indoor. And we lined up, and we're running individual routes to run the corner route. The first – we come in the gym, in the facility. We did our warm-up. Coach say we're first going to line up on the end zone, and we're going to work the play. First play Ben threw to me, I dropped it.
Mm. Well.
Coach said, it's cool. Don't catch it no more.
Don't catch it no more. Yeah, I don't get that one.
Coach Randy Feetner came up to me. We had ran the play 3 times in practice that day.
Right.
And I dropped that one on.
Wow.
He said, we're going to keep throwing this play. But if it come down to it, don't catch it. So you know what, throughout the rest of the postseason in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Every time we threw that play in practice, I never caught it. The DB intercepted it. Mm-hmm. I dropped it on purpose. I let it go through my hands. I did exactly what Coach told me. He said, don't catch it. 2 weeks of training before the Super Bowl, we ran this play every practice, to end every practice. The last play we ran at Super Bowl practice was the same play that they threw in the corner of the end zone.
My God.
Bruce Arians had this drawn up that this was going to be our game-winning play. So every time I ran the route, I just stood there. Ball hit me in the head. Ball hit me in the back. Ball came over the head. I put my hand up there and intentionally move him, let it drop. Seven had already put that in the back of his head where he wanted this game-winning pass to come way before I saw this shit happening to me.
He knew.
All throughout that offseason, we trained. He told me to show up to the facilities. We going to go over these plays here. I just want you to stand in that corner, that corner. We're going to go to this end zone here. I want you to stand in that corner, that corner. Every day, that's all Ben did, dude, was throw me the football in the corner of the end zone. Mm-hmm. A 5'10 and a half receiver, that's all he practiced with me. I didn't know that that was leading up to the moment that it was going to be the greatest catch in Super Bowl history. A play that we practiced for so many days that Coach Arians called this play after I had just dropped the game-winning touchdown wide open for the end zone. I'm running a corner route by myself. Mm. Wow. And I dropped the ball wide open. Man, Ben walked back in the huddle and looked at me. Then he gave the play call.
The nerves.
I said, oh, shit. He finna throw me this ball. I came out of that huddle, and I was glued to the corner of the end zone and couldn't nobody tell me nothing else was going on.
Yeah.
I had one job. Find a way to get to the fucking corner of the end zone. And when I broke free from the line, thinking that Dansby was going to jam me up at the line and he pump faked me and almost made me fall on my face because I was that nervous, I looked at Francisco in his face and gave him a quick two-piece, man, and I knew exactly where I need to be at.
Yeah.
I looked back and amongst the crowd, all the players running around, boy, I saw number 7 point and release that football. All I could do was watch the ball coming in the air, bro. That's it. Touchdown. Hines would run over there, grab me. You think he was in? You think he was in? I said, Hines, we did it, bro. We did it. He grabbed me, shook me up. He shook me up. All the players came in and jumped on top of me. And I just remember sitting there in that moment holding that football, thinking back to me being a child as a little kid, wanting to be remembered in the world. But I ain't never know how I was going to be remembered.
Mm.
That moment came on Super Bowl Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That moment is now etched in history books.
Facts, facts.
That I will forever be remembered for what we did. I will be remembered for what we did.
Yeah.
As Super Bowl champions.
At Walmart, there's a long list of black-led products that fit into your everyday lifestyle. Scotchporter Beard Balm is tool approved, and ladies, you'll love laid hair care, which makes having healthy hair easier, enjoyable, and more convenient. There's power in every purchase. Every time we buy a black-led brand, we open the door for the success of another black-led brand. So show black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
With that catch, it won the game for you, period. Reason why you hear Super Bowl MVP, and it's only so many of y'all. But the thing that people don't realize, the all 10 toes were down. Like you... I was just like, ain't no way Shawty kept his feet in. And you know, and I know you got your foundation. It's the foundation, right?
10 All In Foundation.
10
yes,
All
sir.
In.
Yes.
So I was thinking, I was like, this is brilliant. He kept all 10 toes down.
Okay.
And now he's made a foundation off of it.
I get it. I get it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if it ain't, I still like this.
Hey, I feel that. So... to speak about that moment, and I'm going to get a little sentimental for the viewers, for the people.
Yep.
Because I'm a man of faith.
We're going behind the mask.
I got my rosary around my neck that's been tattooed on me.
Yes, indeed.
But I also keep one on me that I will, right?
Yes, indeed.
So as a man of faith, the image that we remember of our Lord Savior is him pinned to a cross with his arms spread wide. But where was his feet?
Together, nailed to the cross.
When we saw that game-winning catch, and the only image that they wanted to give to the people for them to believe that I never got 2 feet, 10 toes down in that end zone was they showed the image of my feet being planted just like Christ on top of each other. So they never saw the other foot being down on the ground. But if you rewind it back that split second before all that happened, it's in the history books that I'll forever be remembered for having 10 toes down. But the image that is painted in everybody's picture is a silhouette of him before they took him and spread his arms out wing. Mm.
All right. That's deep.
That will forever be remembered in every person's mind on how I was standing when they finally remember me when I'm gone. That I asked to be in his image. I asked to be a part of what that looks like, and I didn't know what that would entail for me. But when I stepped foot off of that field, when I crossed that white line, when the confetti was about to fall down, I remember standing there and I put both arms up and I said, thank you. Because I knew that I was there. So when they announced me as a Super Bowl MVP afterwards, that was all icing on the cake. I ain't even know that was coming. Yeah. I just wanted to be remembered for playing in the Super Bowl.
In his image.
In his image.
Damn. Strong, boy.
Mic drop, bro. Like, heavy. So how does that translate into your foundation and what you do? Talk about what you're doing with it.
So, yeah, I created a foundation called 10 All In.
10 All In.
My goal is to help educate kids on mental health, STEM education. But we use the game of golf. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yes.
How can I help?
So now we're speaking about golf because there's so many opportunities out there for minority kids to see a better life and to meet other people. Mm-hmm. And we only see our own ways through our own future. But how many times has someone painted a picture and created a vision for someone else? And that had became a story told in our history. Tiger didn't say he wanted to play golf. Tiger never told nobody he wanted to play golf. His daddy said he was going to play golf.
Daddy said he was going
to
play golf.
So somebody painted a picture for Tiger to understand that, hey, son, you don't have to be like everybody else. You could be one. Mm. You can be the one that make a difference, the one that make a change. So what 10 All In is, we're dedicated to creating change in our environments. We're dedicated to changing lives of minority kids by educating them on how they can get involved using STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. But we took it a step further and used arts and called it STEAM education, because now the mental health portion is what we focus in on the most, and how we educate our young individuals on their social emotional learning skills. Mm. The things that we were taught as individuals, which made us three up here today professional athletes, we took what we were taught as our learning skills and we applied them to a place that we felt most comfortable. So what if we got so many more minority kids out of that space of thinking that they're the next Michael Jordan, the next LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, and not the next Tiger Woods? We create an environment where they are forever can connect with so many other people other than just the people that they envision themselves being involved with.
Right.
So that's what 10 All In is. We want to change lives and help more kids get involved in this game because it has opened up so many more doors for me as an individual, has created a platform for me to now host a charity event at the Super Bowl every year where we are now giving these kids that recognition and we're giving them a platform for them to see what change actually looks like.
Yep.
So if we're dedicated to changing, then we have to become the prime example of what change looks like. So I've dedicated my time to showing and educating kids how to play the game of golf. So I have a partnership with the PGA Foundation down in South Florida.
Okay.
And we help educate mental health to the First Tee programs. So we deliver a mental health program to the First Tee programs just to help them kids understand how they can captivate those moments as individual golfers.
Yeah.
Those moments where they get nervous on the tee box, and they got a crowd of people around them, these social emotional learning skills that we teach them is going to educate them on how to become collective and respected and play in those moments, just like I was as a professional athlete in that moment where the Super Bowl was, all the lights was on. Everybody's watching. Millions at home, the people that you don't think are watching, they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen to our kids if we create change for them and show them exactly what that example looks like.
I'm down with creating the ecosystem, my brother.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. And you talking about doing it with the golf club, too?
Absolutely.
Man, where I sign up at?
Absolutely. 10allin.org, man. 10allin.org. Sign up, baby.
That's where you sign up at, man. Follow my dog.
Toyota is doing big things helping grassroots community organizations across the country with its Nudge campaign. The Nudge campaign reflects Toyota's commitment to supporting and furthering the success of those who need it most. A few months ago, Toyota debuted the After the Nudge podcast. The podcast is a 7-episode limited series hosted by acclaimed journalist Soledad O'Brien and former NBA All-Star J.R. Smith. It features conversations with community organizations that Toyota nudged via $10,000 microgrants. We get to find out what happened after the nudge. On the After the Nudge podcast, you'll hear from founders and leaders like Polana Lamaye from Black People Will Swim, Dr. Khalid El-Hakim from Black History 101 Mobile Museum, Demetrius Harris from Fly Compton Foundation, and others. Learn how a simple nudge from Toyota helped boost their momentum, amplify their movements, and or propel them to greater heights. Look for the Toyota After the Nudge podcast on Toyota.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got a question. Because what the Behind the Mask audience doesn't know is you guys play in the same division. And y'all had some battles against each other. So was there ever a moment, no lies in the lounge, where you was like, damn, if I go across the middle, I'm dodging 51 to kill Spikes. He ain't about to put the smack down on me, man. Let the audience know what's cracking with that, man.
Hey, listen.
Or did you shake him? Because he had like he was all world, man. I know it's a couple times.
My balance was like a cat.
What years you were there? And
I was 98 came, to 02.
And you came back.
Then went Buffalo. To Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then you came back.
What was that?
Buffalo. Where did I play you? I was, yes.
03.
Okay.
San Fran.
So I had already heard this name in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched SportsCenter. And I know as a wide receiver, these guys that play linebacker, they want to eat anything up that comes across the middle.
True.
And if it comes across the middle without a head hung on it, it's getting took off. It's getting taken off. And I knew that. So when I remember playing against Spikes when he went to Buffalo, dude, we knew, Sanchez, don't throw the ball across the middle. Put a little bit on the side for me, because if he hit me come across the middle, I'm liable to not get up.
Yeah.
So in the back of my head, when I got ready to prepare for games, I knew exactly who was out there looking for me. He wanted a piece of one of them little receivers that he could knock out. So you know what? I always had my head on the swivel watching out for you just as much as I know you was watching out. Because we had moments where we catching each other, hey, 10, hey, I was coming. You know I was coming. And I'm like, man, you ain't even talk to me, but you ain't even get in my head. Nope. I'm already scared. I'm going to keep moving. No, we're not doing that.
And see, and the thing was, what we knew was the scouting report was, look, he can do it in every aspect of the field. We know 86.
Yeah.
We've seen 86, and we've seen what he can do. Mm-hmm. But this one right here, he's not going to let you get a clean shot on him.
Yeah.
So when I hear that, I'm like, man, don't you be coming in, scan these DBs. You can't get a clean shot.
Yeah.
I'm a decapitator.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that
ask me how many times I did it.
Come on.
None.
Zero.
You couldn't get to him. I see you.
Hey,
we next knew. Level.
We're not coming in there. Hey, that little angle going to change. I know what he thinking I'm going to be at.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and change that up. You know what I mean? Just a little smidge to turn that to the right a little bit. So if he hit me, he going to get a little graze on me and get me down. But he ain't going to hit me clean.
Never.
No, sir.
Never took a clean shot.
You see these neck muscles,
still
bro?
Got it. Still
you
got
think
it.
I want to let – You think I want to let that run me over, bro, as a 185-pound wide receiver in the NFL? I ain't getting back up on these shoulders. No, sir. I'm walking around there with dead shoulders now trying to get a coach, man. I can't – what you mean you can't get up? You play football. You ain't see the person that just hit me, though.
Yeah.
That guy got a lot of power behind that.
Right.
We had some good battles, man.
Yes, sir.
Even when we were in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, they were running the division. But we were always that team that will always be the thorn in Pittsburgh's ass. They can go out and have big wins throughout the year. I felt like we always had their number. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't mess up the streak somehow. And we never got enough credit for it.
Yeah.
I mean, but why would you when you win it going 4-12 and and then 8-8.
In those moments, man, like you said, them battles came down to the heart of champions. And you had enough players that believed together. And in that Pittsburgh locker room, boy, when I tell you, they had already was embedded on what championship chemistry looked like.
A lot of people don't know that.
So when you walk in, your expectation is rose from the day you step foot across the wall that you're in this building, you're in this place right now. So we shouldn't have to tell you what the standard is.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Because the culture has already been established when you walk inside of the locker.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was impressive. Anytime I would see you guys in the offseason, you never would see one. You would act as – it would almost look like it was a Steeler event.
Yeah.
Because of how y'all support each other.
Mm-hmm.
One traveling,
yes.
They all travel.
Yes.
I remember
– it was culture.
Yeah, you put nobody names out there. But,
yeah. Yeah, we're in the lounge, we got to keep it. We got to keep it a little PG. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. A little PG-13.
For decades, McDonald's has been shown in anime and manga comics across the world. While staying true to the culture and displaying themes all generations can relate to, McDonald's has been embraced by the anime community, commonly dubbed as McDonald's. McDonald's has been represented in anime and manga dated back to the 1986 release Cat's Eye, all the way to classics like Cowboy Bebop the movie and Assassination Classroom in 2016. Just like anime brings food to life, drawing in their fans to grab a meal after watching an episode, McDonald's is bringing McDonald's to life with a series of anime shorts and manga comics, as well as releasing their new anime-inspired savory chili McDonald's sauce. You gotta pair the savory chili sauce with your 10-piece Wick chicken nuggets and fries. It's only available for a limited time until March 25th, so make your McDonald's run now and enjoy some more delicious memories.
Before we let you get out of here, obviously, man, you are here representing on the Super Bowl. You got your ring on. You shining for the BTM audience, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So you talked about champions and a locker room full of champions. So when you look at this game, who do you think is going to win and which team has more of that championship mentality like you guys have?
I can definitely say that if we look at which team has that championship mentality, they are – not in a sense even, but in a sense of even in the players that have been there.
Right.
Because Kansas City is only returning, 11 guys, I think, or maybe less, 8 guys.
I think it's less. I want to say anywhere from like 68, 68.
Yeah, right? Yeah. From their whole entire team from the year before winning the whole Super Bowl.
Right, right.
So now you're talking about the 49ers organization who has only one player that was remaining from the Super Bowl team and before, right?
Yeah.
And that's Fred. I want to say he's the only player.
No, I think San Fran actually had more.
Was it more?
I,
okay. And if it was, I need to get back in the books and do my history lesson.
No, you might be right. No, you are right. I think it's your point.
But
I think I know where you're going at with your point. Go ahead and lace it on.
With that locker room built the way it is on Kansas City side and the 49ers side, we're seeing the testament of championship players being developed. You're talking about guys that are going out, showing every weekend, like on the defensive side, on both sides of San Fran and the Kansas City, that they have the heart of champions, that they're going to show you why they want to be in this position. And they're not just asking for millions of dollars. They're showing you why they deserve to be these players. So when you put those players up and you look at the Kansas City side, you have by far the biggest advantage in your defense and in the star quarterback, a tight end that can't nobody seem to stop, can't nobody seem to hold down, that has been tremendous, and a running game of guys that want to be champions.
Yep.
These guys see what they're doing and how they've done it for so many years, and the blueprint has been laid. Ever since Andy Reid laid his eyes on Patrick Mahomes, he had a twinkle in his eye. And he showed it the minute he kicked Alex Smith out the door. He said, "I'm going to show y'all what we got. I got a new shiny toy, and that toy liked to ride."
Let it rip.
Let it rip. And guess what we doing? We whistling to that guy, let it rip.
Right.
He's doing his own football style, and we're seeing it. We're able to capture those moments on camera to actually show that this guy has something else special inside of him. But then you got another side over there that said, man, somebody picked up a 7th-round draft pick. We got a number 3 draft pick here as our quarterback. We got a guy that we just got from sitting behind Tom Brady that just led us to the Super Bowl. But nah, it's something else back here. Like, coach, this guy here, let's not sleep on him. So what Kyle Shanahan did, he said, hey, man, y'all move aside. I'm going to show y'all why we picked Mr. Irrelevant. And Mr. Irrelevant has confidence. Yeah. You know why? Because he has defensive players that surround him that said, bro, we don't give two F's about what kind of pick you was. You know why? Because guess who was Mr. Irrelevant? The only seven-time Super Bowl champion in the history of the NFL. That was already instilled.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you talk about what does that championship pedigree looks like? It boils down to who going to want it more because they're already there. If someone is giving the flowers to Brock Purdy, at this point, it's because they're deserving. Because we have now witnessed what it feels like to see what the Mr. Irrelevant is really capable of doing when given that real opportunity. But more importantly, him taking advantage of that opportunity and saying that I want to be in this spotlight.
Yeah.
I want to do it for everybody else. Because me being Mr. Irrelevant, I'm going to show you that I'm not irrelevant. I'm the most relevant thing, you know what I'm saying, as possible.
Yep.
And his coaches had confidence in believing in that. Now he's in the right place. Because had he not got hurt last year on the first freaking play of the game, we talking about another type of story in the history book right now, you know what I'm saying, that was written by them same guys that are back here today. Written by the same guys.
You're right. Because
now they didn't have that. Like you said, it didn't look like they had championship guys, but they did.
Yeah.
They just – that quarterback got hurt.
And it just
– and it derailed their whole plans in one split moment that the first play of the game, you lose your starting quarterback.
That hurts.
We have championship – in the making right now, that's going to be a great one on Super Bowl Sunday.
I appreciate the time,
indeed,
my boy.
Yes,
thank you. Appreciate it, T.
Thank you,
Antonio
dog.
Holmes, my guy. Appreciate your family.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Behind the Mask.